You can have a seat, get your Bible out. I'd like to welcome those of you that are watching online as well during this time all over the nation and around the world. We're just privileged that you would join us online today, and I believe God's going to speak to you right where you're at, wherever you're at, all over the world. Hebrews chapter 5. We've been in Hebrews chapter 5, and in verse number 9, This is actually our fifth time in Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 9. The Word of God is not meant to be fast food, but is meant to be good food where you take time and you digest it and you get everything you can out of it. And so what we do in this church, if you're joining us for the first time, is we go line upon line, precept upon precept. We believe that God wrote it that way. Therefore, we ought to be able to understand it that way. Just like building a wall, you put one brick upon what you just built, the foundation of the brick before it, and you keep going and everything lines up. And at the end of it all, you have a connected structure. There's something that's built that can hold up. And so in our lives, what we're doing as we approach the Word of God, verse by verse, brick by brick, adding things to our lives, building things into our lives that will help us to stay strong and steady in the way of God. Today, Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 9, let's read it again. It says, "And having been perfected," speaking of Jesus, "having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." Now, past couple of times we've been in this verse together, we've been in a series called Proof of Our Believing. And this is actually part number 4 of the Proof of Our Believing. Remember, we talked about this verse, Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 9, and we saw some things in this verse talking about the proof of our believing. That having been perfected, Jesus became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Notice that it didn't say to all who just believe in him. Even though we know that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you will be saved. But here it says that he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. In other words, this is not just about a mental assent, not just about surface level belief where we acknowledge something with our minds and then it goes no further. No, what we believe should actually be expressed in what we do. And the proof of our belief is in our obedience to him. If I could remind you of some of the statements we've made throughout this series, that what we do is an expression of what we believe. And that it starts in our hearts. That this is not about just the surface level activities. This is not about just mere words or mere deeds. But rather this is about an expression of the heart. That it starts with the heart. And then it continues in our actions, in our activities. Let me put it to you like this. That what we believe about God, what we know to be true about God, the things that we have heard, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So when we hear the Word of God, we believe it, we have faith for it, but then it doesn't stop there. No, now all of a sudden that faith, that belief is turning into something. It's a conviction, it's a passion on the inside that moves us and drives us to live the life that we live for Jesus Christ. And that's really what this series has been all about. I wish we had time to review everything. I wish we had time to go back over all of the points, but we don't have time to do all that today. There's just been too much said. It's too good. And the teaching team here at The Rock is too phenomenal to try and sum it all up in a couple of minutes. But I would encourage you, all the series is online for free. You can download it, podcast it, whatever you need to do. Or if you want to purchase a CD, they're over there at the CD counter and you can get a hold of that. So I would encourage you, if you haven't heard the past three parts, get a hold of those and get a hold of the Word of God for your life. But today, you'll be blessed nonetheless. You'll be right on board with us. And today's message also can stand alone. And so you'll get something from the things of God. Now, when we take a look at the proof of our believing, when we take a look at the things that we do, we find out that our beliefs, when they are acted on, it does something in our life. In other words, there is a fruit. It starts with our heart. Remember, we just made this statement that our belief starts in our heart, but then it's expressed in our activities, in our actions, in our words, and in our deeds. And so when our beliefs are acted on, it produces something. So the heart is the root, and the action is the fruit. There's an expression that takes place. And so today, I want to take a look at a couple of things that when our beliefs are acted on, happen in our lives. I'm making this statement, you can see it up there on the overhead, beliefs that are acted on. And that's actually the beginning of a sentence. We'll complete that sentence 3 times today to find out what happens when our beliefs are acted on. Okay, everybody good with that? Yeah. All right, first row is, but how about y'all in the back? You guys okay? All right, praise the Lord. You guys showed up. Good deal. Beliefs that are acted on, number 1, are known and declared by the Lord. Beliefs that are acted on are known and declared by the Lord. If I could rewind your thinking to Hebrews chapter number 4, we saw that the Word of God is living, active, powerful, and sharper than any double-edged sword, revealing the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In other words, you can't fool God. The Bible says everything is naked, bare, exposed before him, with whom we must give an account. And so when we go before God, when we bring our life before God, there's not going to be any sort of mask we can hide behind. There's no facade we can build that can fool God. God knows our works and also declares them to be what they are. See, it doesn't matter if society says, oh, that's okay, you can keep doing that and still be a Christian. It doesn't matter if our family or our friends tell us, hey, you know what, you're good, you're better than most, and so therefore, it's okay, you just keep doing what you're doing, that's right. No, what God says is what counts, what God says is true. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And therefore, I don't care what society, social systems, education systems, friends and family say, even though they might be wonderful and I love them. No, I've got to find out what the Word of God has to say, because God is the one who I have to give an account to. God is the one that knows my works, and God is the one who will declare them as to what they are. In our lives, we see throughout the Bible, you can check it out in Matthew chapter 25. You can also see it in 1 Corinthians. How our life and our works are going to pass before the Lord. They're going to be tested, and God will be the one that declares what our works are, known and declared to the Lord. In fact, if you look in the book of Revelation, first couple of chapters, there are seven letters written to seven churches. To each one of those churches, Jesus declares, I know your works. I know your works. See, Jesus knows what's going on. God is not a distant God, you know, kind of off doing his own thing, and then every now and then he checks in on the earth. No, God, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, the Bible says. And God is looking into the things here on earth. In fact, even angels are checking out what's going on earth. And therefore, Jesus Christ knows our works, but he also declares them. To each one of those churches, he declared what they were doing. Most of them had some good things going on. One of them didn't have good things going on. One of them was commended by the Lord. But five out of the seven, even though they may have had some good things that were said about them, there were some things he said, yet I have this against you. He said, there's still some things that are going on that are not pleasing to me. And so our works are known to the Lord, but also the Lord will declare them. In your life, it's good for us to examine our lives and say, what am I doing? Not only what am I doing, why am I doing it? What's the motivation behind it? What is that root that's expressing itself in this activity in my life? And therefore, if we're going to get to the heart of the issue, we've got to bring our works before the Lord and say, God, test me, try me out. You see this all throughout the Word of God. Try me, O God, test me and know my anxious thoughts. Lead me in the way everlasting. You see, there's something that if you bring your works to God and you bring your life to the Lord and say, God, you know, I've been doing some soul searching. I've been wondering about these things in my life. I've been wondering what I'm doing, God. And therefore, here's my life, Lord. Get your finger on an area. God, show me what it is in my life. Just reveal it to me. God will make that clear to you. You're there in the book of Hebrews. Let's turn to the book of Matthew. Throughout this series, we've been in Matthew chapter 7. In fact, even last week, Matthew chapter 7. And we were looking at the house that was built on the rock versus the house that was built on the sand, likening it to our obedience and to our faithfulness to the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 7, if you back up right behind those verses about being built on the rock, you'll find Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Jesus is speaking. He's just got done talking about good trees and bad trees. He's talking about good fruit and bad fruit, just what we're talking about today. Activities and expressions of our lives. Here in Matthew chapter number 7, starting in verse number 21, Jesus says these words. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now let's stop right there and take a look at the verse for a moment. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, there's a lot of people all over the world that name the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and yet have no real relationship with him. And when they die, if they die in the state that they're in currently, even though they name Jesus as Lord on the surface, that Jesus Christ declares they're not real Christians. They're not going to make it. They're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But then he clarifies the issue and he says who will actually go to heaven. Take a look at the rest of the verse I've highlighted up there. It says, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven, or he who is obedient to the will of God in heaven. See, if we want to enter the kingdom of heaven, Jesus Christ isn't the author of eternal salvation to all who name him Lord, Lord. No, he's the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now, he goes on. Next verse. Take a look at verse number 22. Jesus still speaking. He says, many will say to me in that day. Now, what is that day? That's the day that our works go before the Lord. That's the day of judgments. That's the day that our lives will be examined and Jesus will know and declare our works. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Now, see, there it is again. Don't you know that when God repeats himself in the Word of God two times in two verses, we ought to perk our ears up and pay attention. What's going on here? He's emphasizing this for a reason. There are people who really do believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And yet in their life, in their activities, and in their actions, it is not expressed. It's not a real life of obedience. So here they are again, and they're pleading with the Lord, and they say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? See, they name the name of Jesus, and now they have prophesied? Wow. They've cast out demons? My goodness. Most of us haven't done that. Well, they've done many wonders. Wow. Now we would look at that and we would say, well, surely they're Christians. I mean, how could God approve of somebody and allow them to do miracles, signs, and wonders, cast out demons, and prophesy if they weren't a real Christian? And yet, if you examine the Word of God, he just got done talking about false prophets. In fact, all throughout the Bible, you will find false prophets. People who prophesied for personal gain. People who prophesied so that they could have an audience with the king or get on the king's good side. People who prophesied out of their own will rather than will of God. Last week, Pastor Luke was talking about King Saul. King Saul, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied. And there was even a saying in Israel, is Saul among the prophets? And yet his life of disobedience ripped the kingdom from him and even his life. And so we need to pay attention, say, prophecy, hey, that's cool. And yes, that can be done in the name of the Lord. And yet, that is not the mark of a real Christian. It's not the mark of real, true obedience. It can be something that's expressed from a Christian's life, but it's not the mark of it. Cast out demons. There were people that you can read about in the book of Acts that would go around traveling from place to place and cast out demons, and they would say, I cast you out in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, right? And here they were. Obviously, they had some sort of success with that because they traveled around doing that. Now, we know that eventually they got their behinds kicked. You understand what I'm saying? That's the nice way of saying it. And finally, have we not done many wonders in your name? We think about wonders, miracles, signs, and wonders. We think, oh my goodness, that has to be something that's done only by Christians. Well, listen, there are lying signs and wonders you see all throughout the Bible. Jannes and Jambres that opposed Moses did similar signs and wonders that Moses did. And it hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And therefore, those are not the marks of true Christianity, but a life of obedience is. Let's take a look at the next verse to see this even further. Verse 23. And then I will declare to them. Then I will declare to them. See, our works are known and declared by the Lord. Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. See, that's where the rubber meets the road. Even though they had some good things in their life, they prophesied, they cast out devils, they did miracles, signs, and wonders in his name, their practice was lawlessness. Now, for the Christian, we might look at this and we say, my goodness, am I even saved? I was reading some commentaries, and even John Wesley had to stop at these verses and say, Lord, is this me? I mean, in my own personal studies, the conviction that comes from these verses, very serious verses, we look at this and we say, my goodness, am I even saved? And yet the difference is we see people that may have done some good things, and yet their practice was lawlessness. In our lives, we may mess up, we may sin, we may trip up every now and then, but our practice is righteousness. Are you listening? That's the difference, is a life of obedience to the will and to the way of God. Not doing a couple good things and then our practice is lawlessness. No, we might sin, we might mess up, but hey, I'm putting that under the blood of Jesus. I'm asking for forgiveness. I'm repenting of that. I'm doing what it takes to learn how to not do that anymore. I'm growing in the grace of God, and my practice is righteousness. My life is a life of obedience, not of rebellion to the will and to the way of God. Are you listening today? So beliefs that are acted on, number one, are known and declared by the Lord. Second thing is beliefs that are acted on, number two for today, carry us through suffering and persecution. Beliefs that are acted on, number two, are carry us through suffering and persecution. Now, when you know that you're doing the will of the Lord, it doesn't matter what circumstances are coming against you. Why? Because you will continue and you will endure because you're being obedient. Just like a good soldier in the army knows that he's going to be facing the enemy's fire, and yet he has an order that he has to go in obedience to advance. And in our lives, it's no different. You know, there's a lot of things that are coming against us in our lifetime. In fact, the Bible promises us that there are going to be problems and trials and persecutions in our life as Christians. You say, Pastor, I don't like those promises. I don't either. See, and you don't have to go around confessing them or praying for them to get them. They're going to come. Paul wrote Timothy, he said, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We look at that and we say, my goodness, how does that work? How am I going to make it? Here's how: obedience. See, even in the parable of the sower, you find the sower sows the word, and the word falls on different kinds of ground. One of the kinds of ground is the stony soil. And because it doesn't have a very deep root, when the sun rises, the plant is withered and it dies. Well, what is that likened to? Well, Jesus explains the parable later on. He says that when the sun arises, persecution arises for the word's sake. That tells me something. If the sun rising is like persecution coming for the word's sake, that means that every day. Are you listening? Every day, just like the sun rises, every day you can count on it. Day in, day out. What's going to happen? There's going to be heat. There's going to be pressure. There's going to be trials that I go through every day. Why? Because just like the sun rises, here comes the trial. Here comes, if I open my eyes and the sun is shining, hey, I'm facing something today. It's going to be something that takes place. I don't have to confess it. I don't have to believe God for it. I just know that it's coming. But what I do need to do is walk in obedience and walk in the will of God. Why? Because that will carry me through every day. That will carry me through the suffering. That will carry me through the trial. That will carry me through the pain. And so our beliefs that are acted on carry us through suffering and persecution. Acts chapter 4, let's take a look at it in the Word. Some great examples for us. Acts chapter 4. Let me set the story while you're turning in your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. The apostles have received the promise of the Holy Spirit, a man who is lame sitting at the gate, and the disciples are coming in, the apostles are coming in during the hour of prayer, and they see this man, he's begging, and he looks up to them, and they say, silver and gold we do not have, but what we do have, we give you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. Grab a hold of this man, lift him up, he starts leaping, jumping around, he's completely healed, he's rejoicing, he's over 40 years old, and everybody knew this guy because he was always sitting there, and so they're all excited for him, they're praising God, and the religious leaders of the day, the Sanhedrin and the high priest and all them, they hear about this uproar, and so they send for the disciples, and they bring them, and they start to question them, and they question the man, and this is where we pick up the story. Here they are, and they're trying to find out what's going on. Now, we would have thought this isn't that weird, you know. Jesus has just been on the scene. Jesus has been doing miracles, signs, and wonders. Now, here come his disciples, here come the apostles, and they're doing the same thing. So, what's the big deal? And yet, there's a persecution that arises for the word's sake. Acts chapter 4, verse number 18 through verse number 20. Acts chapter 4, verse number 18 says this. It says, so they, speaking to the high priest, the Sanhedrin, they called them, the apostles, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. There's that persecution. They commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. Verse number 19, but Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. In other words, they just put it right back in their face. They said, well, I'm sorry, excuse me, is it right to listen to you more than to God? You tell us. Now, any religious leader can't answer that, right? They can't say, well, you listen to us. You know, we're the religious leaders, and therefore, you, no, they're going to say, well, no, you should be listening to God, right? And I love how it says in the New Living Translation, I'll put it up on the overhead for you, Acts 4:19, New Living Translation, Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? See, that puts a little bit more bluntly there, huh? No, God doesn't want us to obey man. God wants us to obey God, and therefore, if we're going to please God, we got to obey God and not man. Acts chapter 4, verse number 20. Back to the New King James. Acts chapter 4, verse 20. It says this, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. In other words, the expression of our life comes from what we believe. See, they saw something. What did they see? They saw Jesus. They saw his life. They saw the miracles, signs, wonders that he did. They saw him on the cross, and then they saw him resurrected. What did they hear? They heard the word of God. They heard the teaching of Jesus Christ. They heard the promises of God. They heard the word opened up to them. They heard the word became flesh. They heard Jesus. And therefore, now they had a faith in Jesus. And that faith was not just a dead faith. No, that was a living faith. It was a faith that was turned into a conviction. It was a burning passion on the inside of them. And they said, doesn't matter what you say. Doesn't matter what you do. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. It's an expression of our life. Our obedience comes from our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the story's not over here. See, they go out from their presence. They're warned. They tell them, no, listen, we don't want you to speak in this name again. You go. So they go out and they go back to the believers and they report to them everything that happened. They're continuing on in the temple. They're continuing teaching and preaching. Now, once again, here come the religious leaders. They go and they lock them up in jail. They take them in jail and now they have them overnight in jail. And the apostles are there in jail in the middle of the night. And an angel appears to them. Angel says, hey, what are you guys doing here in jail? You guys need to get out of here. So he lets them out and then he locks up behind him. Now, I'm paraphrasing now, okay? So just stay with me for a second. So they leave now and they go back to the temple courts in the morning, early in the morning. They are preaching and teaching, telling the people about Jesus once again. And the religious leaders come and they go and they tell the guards, okay, guards, we need you to go and get those guys from prison that we locked up last night. And so the guys go, they check the prison doors, everything locked up, everything's secure, everything's the way it should be, except... no disciples. What happened? So they start scratching their head. They say, we don't know what happened. Everything's locked. Everything's the way it should be. Everything's secure. The guards are still here, but there's no prisoners. And so they go back and they report this to the high priest. They report this to the council. And they say, we don't know what happened. You know, everything was locked up. Everything's the way it should be. And yet they weren't there. And so while they're sitting around scratching their heads, somebody says, hey, are you looking for those guys that we locked up? They're out there in the temple preaching right now. So they send for them again. Okay, guards, go get them. So they go out, they get them, but they get them peaceably. Why? Because they were afraid of the people. They thought they were going to cause an uproar. And so they go and they say, gentlemen, will you please come with us? So they say, all right, yeah, whatever, you know, let's go. Once again, here we go again, you know. So they go on back. And now here we pick up the story, Acts chapter number 5 this time, verse number 27 through verse number 29. Acts chapter 5, verse number 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. So he's mad. He's probably foaming at the mouth, spitting a little bit, veins popping out of his neck, maybe out of his forehead, you know. And he's just mad at him, and he's saying, look at what you're doing. You guys, we told you not to do this. Now you're still doing it. You're not obeying us. Now look at the response of the apostles. Verse 29, but Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. In other words, maybe you didn't get it last time when we asked the question, should we obey you or God? Maybe you didn't have the right answer. So this time we're not going to ask, we're just going to tell you, we ought to obey God rather than men. Doesn't matter what you bring against us. Doesn't matter the persecution. Doesn't matter the trial. What matters is that we're walking in obedience to the will and way of God. Now, again, the story's not over. They go out. They beat them. Okay? They command them not to teach in the name. They beat them. And then they let them go once again. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says they went out rejoicing. That they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. Now, in our lives, we could look at that and say, that's crazy. You know, I know me personally, I would have been walking out saying, man, I should have stayed a tax collector. I didn't sign up for this. Man, I should have stayed with the fish. At least I understand fish. You know, fish understand me. We have an agreement here. I catch you, I sell you, I make a living, and we're good. I didn't sign up to get beat. And yet, here these guys leave the presence of the council after getting beat up with joy. Why? Because they were counted worthy to suffer. They were counted worthy. What does that mean? That means that they were privileged enough to obey God to the point of sharing in Jesus' sufferings. That's what this is all about, is having joy through the trial. Which brings us to the last thing for today. Beliefs that are acted on, number one, are known and declared by the Lord. Number two, beliefs that are acted on carry us through suffering and persecution. Final thing for today, beliefs that are acted on bring blessings. Beliefs that are acted on bring blessings. I don't know if anybody's told you this. I don't know if you even believe this. But God wants to bless your life. Plain and simple. God is interested in you having a blessed life. Now, a lot of times people hear that and they turn off. They say, no, God doesn't want me blessed. That's obvious by my life. You know, I'm not having a good life. I'm not having a good time. I'm getting beat, but I'm not rejoicing. You know, I'm having a hard time. My finances, my family, having a hard time going through those struggles and sufferings. And I'll be obedient, but you know, it's just my cross to bear. It's just, you know, what I've got to endure. And someday in the sweet by and by, God's interested in blessing me when I'm in heaven. But now here on earth, I don't think God's really interested in me. And yet, the Bible, all throughout the Bible, you can find out that God is interested in our lives. God is looking for a life that's devoted to Him and that's obedient to Him. And God wants to bless your life. That's why Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And sometimes we get so caught up and we say, oh, God wants to bless you. That's just about money. I knew this church was about money. It's not about money. The way we define blessing in this church is the capacity to succeed. The capacity to succeed with your family. The capacity to succeed with your finances. Yes, the capacity to succeed in your business. The capacity to succeed in your relationships, the capacity to succeed in your marriage and with your kids and whatever it is that you're going through, the capacity to succeed. God wants to bless your life. And when you walk in obedience, now you open yourself up to the blessings of God. There is a blessing that comes with obedience. There's a freedom that comes with obedience. Now it's no longer just rules and regulations and we're bound by sin and we're trapped. No, Jesus has opened the door wide and said, I want you to live a blessed life. I want you to live a life with the capacity to succeed. And therefore, as you walk in obedience to my will and to my way, what you sow, you will also reap. If you sow obedience, you will reap the blessings of that obedience. God wants to bless us. He wants us to live a blessed life. We saw in part one that there are eternal blessings. If you remember Revelation chapter 22, verse 14, I'll just pop it up on the overheads for you. Revelation chapter 22, verse 14 says this, says, blessed are those who do his commandments. See, there's a blessing that comes with following the will and the way of the Lord. And it says that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. In other words, that means that if we do his commandments, Jesus Christ becomes the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Therefore, now we have a right to the tree of life. We're going to live with him forever and ever. And we now may enter through the gates into the city. That's the New Jerusalem. We get to be with God forever and ever. We have audience with the King, and now we can sit with our Father and we can be with him. That's an eternal blessing. But remember, we also talked about things here on the earth. We are promised in the Word that God's commandments are not a burden. 1 John 5:3, if you want to write down that reference and look at it later. His commandments are not a burden to us. They're not just a cross that we bear. No, the cross is the joy that is set before us. Why? Because we know that as we go through that persecution, as we go through that trial, that there is a blessing that comes with our obedience. And we can rejoice like those disciples, like those apostles. We can have joy in our lives because we know that what we're going through doesn't compare with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Psalm chapter 112, verse number 1. I'll put it up on the overheads for you once again. Psalm 112, verse 1 says, praise the Lord, or hallelujah. Blessed is the man. Some translations say happy, to be envied, or joyful is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. See, not just being blessed and happy, but now all of a sudden we are fearing the Lord, walking in obedience to his ways, and we delight in his commandments. Or the New Living Translation says, those who delight in obeying his commandments. Why do we have that joy? Because we know that there's a blessing that comes with our obedience. Now, all throughout the Word of God, Old and New Testament, we're promised things with our obedience. We're promised a place in the family of God. We're promised a friendship with Jesus. We're promised strength in the storms of this life. We're promised prosperity and success, and on and on and on and on. Too many references, too many verses, too many promises to cite. So take some time this week and look for the promises. Look for those blessings that come with obedience. Last verse for today. Just want to take a look at this. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, if you will. Find Hebrews. Next book right after that is James. James chapter 1, very familiar section of Scripture talking about being not just hearers, but also doers of the Word. James chapter 1, verse number 25, says these words. James chapter number 1, verse number 25, says this. It says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. There's that freedom. See, Jesus' law isn't a burden. It isn't a prison cell. No, it's the perfect law of liberty. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. There's our obedience. Look at this. This one. Everybody say this one.
This one.
Oh, come on. Everybody say this one.
This one.
Say, I am that one.
I am.
Say, I am that one. This one will be blessed in what he does. Let's put our definition in there. Hold on a second. Let's put our definition in there. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will have the capacity to succeed in whatever they do. That's good news. And that's the blessing of the Lord that comes with our obedience. What do we learn today? We learn, number one, beliefs that are acted on are known and declared by the Lord. Second thing we learn is that beliefs that are acted on carry us through suffering and persecution. Final thing that we learn for today is that beliefs that are acted on bring blessings, the capacity to succeed. If you got something from the word of the Lord today, come on, give God a great big praise. Hallelujah.